Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How will I ever get through this? For the fourth year in a row, Illinois Fighting Illini men's basketball has not made the NCAA tournament. How will I ever get through this? I'm just joking. No, I want to talk about a serious times when you and I ask, how will I ever get through this? And I think, you know, the idea is that when you're at a dead end and you just don't see how you're going to, where your way out is. And I think there's two times in general where this can happen. One is when it's a result of our own sin, when we have made the problem and we have gotten ourselves into such a mess and we're saying, how am I ever going to get through this? How will I ever get through this guilt? How will I ever get through this shame? How can I ever face people again? How will I ever get through the embarrassment, the hopelessness of it? So that's one time we ask it, how will I ever get through this? Another time is when we're suffering, and it may not have anything to do with our sin at all, but it's just a result of being in this sinful world. So we might say, how will I ever get through this illness? Or how will I ever get through this death of someone I love? Or how will I ever get through losing this job? Or how will I ever get through being broke, having no money? How will I get through being abused? So there's a lot of times we get to these dead ends and we say, how am I ever going to get through this? Well, our word from God this morning, it just gives us this great encouragement. And it does it in two ways. You've got Jacob in the Old Testament and the Canaanite woman in the Gospel. And both of them are at these dead ends. But they get through. How do they get through? You know what the answer is, right? How will we ever get through this? Jesus is the answer. But we got to get there. We got to look at Jacob, and we got to look at this Canaanite woman, see how they get through the dead ends that they're in. So let's start with Jacob. Jacob is one, remember I said the first kind is where kind of your past sins are coming back to haunt you. And in our introit today, I don't know if you caught that, we said, remember not the sins of my youth. Sometimes these sins from our past come back, and that's what's happening with Jacob here, and he's wondering, how am I ever going to get through this? How many of you have had any squabbles or troubles with family, with maybe your brothers or sisters, or had squabbles with your parents at times, or kids even, or maybe, you know, squabbles with a spouse? If you have ever had any family troubles at all, then you should be able to sympathize a little bit with Jacob here. Because Jacob's problem is with his twin brother Esau. And this goes all the way back to before they were even born. How many of us can say that? Before he was even born, you remember the story that Rebecca was pregnant. She hadn't been able to get pregnant, so this was a huge blessing from God. They prayed and she became pregnant, and she's going to have twins. But she's so disturbed because they're constantly, there's so much going on inside her belly, she can't figure it out. So she asks God, what in the world is going on? And God says, well, there are two nations in your womb, and they are going to be divided. So they were, you know, they were already wrestling as two young boys before they were even born. And then, if you remember the rest of the story, it was kind of a battle to see who would be born first. And Esau was born first. He was the older. But Jacob grabbed onto his heel and came out right behind him, and that's where Jacob got his name. So it's kind of interesting. These two, all through their life, were kind of at odds with each other, and you probably have known situations like that, this where they were so different. Jacob was very much more the gentle guy who was more comfortable at home. He helped his mother a lot more, Rebecca, and he, you know, would be the one that would do cooking and this kind of stuff. Whereas Esau was the one that was always out in the field. He was the hunter, you know, always getting the game for his father. So he was much more connected to his father Isaac, Jacob to his mother Rebekah. Well, this kind of continued on, these two always competing with each other. Well, one day Esau comes in, he's terribly hungry, and here's Jacob just cooked up this really tasty stew. And so you remember what happens there. Esau sells his birthright. You know, he's supposed to inherit all of this because he's the older, but he sells it to Jacob just so he can eat the stew. And then later on, it's even worse. Isaac is about to give the blessing to the older son, and Jacob disguises himself as Esau because Isaac is going blind and cheats Esau out of the blessing. So now that's when it finally comes to a head. And if you remember, Esau says then, "You're a dead man," to Jacob, and he's gonna kill him. And so mom and dad, Isaac and Rebekah, say, "Jacob, you better get out of here." And so he does. He goes to his uncle Laban's to go find a wife. So guess how long it's been since these two have seen each other? 14 years. 14 years. They haven't seen each other. And when Jacob left, this is what he knew of his brother. His brother was going to kill him. So 14 years this has been ruminating, and here Jacob is on his way back to see him. You see where I said that past sins coming back to haunt you? I mean, he cheated his brother not once, but two times. And when he left, he knew Esau wanted to kill him. So all of this is just flooding back to him. And he's standing. There was this part that comes off the Jordan River called the Jabbok River. And he's standing on the edge of it. And he knows he's about to meet Esau. And he has sent people ahead with all these gifts to try and, you know, butter him up. He sent all these animals, livestock and stuff, you know, trying to butter up Esau so that he won't be mad at him. But all he's gotten back is that he's been told Esau has 400 men with him. So if you hear that your brother's coming with 400 guys, you think this is not going to be good, right? So he separates his family from him to try to protect them a little bit. And he all night long sits here, is waiting for the next day to come where he's going to meet Esau. All of these sins flooding back to him. And what is he saying? How will I ever get through this? It seems like this dead end for him. Well, this is where the story becomes, of course, very interesting, is somebody comes and starts wrestling with Jacob. And you have to think that maybe Jacob thought this was his brother, Esau. He's probably half asleep. He might have been dreaming. But here all of a sudden, somebody is actually there physically wrestling with him. And after a while, Jacob figures out this isn't Esau. This is God. And that really is important for us to see that when we get to that point where we're saying, how will I ever get through this? Who are we really wrestling with? God. It's a struggle of faith to trust him, to remember his mercy, to remember that, yes, Jesus will get us through that. Yes, Jesus is the forgiver of past sins and the hope for our future. And that's what Jacob is wrestling with. And that's what you and I wrestle with. And whenever we have one of those times where all our past sins are bothering us, we've got all this guilt and we're shame, and we're saying, how will we ever get through this? We're wrestling with God, wrestling with faith. Well, Jake, this was an epic match. You know, like a wrestling match you've never, ever seen before. Jacob is wrestling with God, and it's not only a physical wrestling match, but a spiritual wrestling match. And remember, it's dark, it's nighttime. You know, Jacob is tired, but he's just holding on and holding on and holding on. He will not let go. Now, at one point, God, because obviously God is not wrestling with all his power here, but at one point God reaches over and touches Jacob's hip and it goes out of socket. All he does is touch it, it goes out of socket. And you think Jacob is going to give up, right? No. He hangs on for dear life and he says, "I will not let you go until you bless me." See, that is faith. Jacob is at a dead end. How will I ever get through this? But he will not let go of God's word and promise. That is the struggle of faith. Jesus will always get us through it. Now to the Canaanite woman. Now think about her situations. If you don't know the story real well, I'll just summarize it briefly. She was going through one of the worst kinds of suffering. It's bad enough when you have to suffer yourself, right? The pain of that is hard. But what's even harder than that? Watching your child suffer. Some of you probably know about that kind of pain, and that's what she was going through. And that's why for her, it feels like this dead end. She wants to help her daughter, and she just doesn't know what to do for her. And her past, too, is coming back to her. Because she, of course, has not worshiped the true God. And, I mean, who knows what her whole situation has been, but she may very well think, like Jacob, that God is out to get her, out to punish her. So how is she ever going to get through this? Well, understand, she also wrestles. It's not quite the same wrestling match that Jacob has, but it is the same kind of wrestling with God. She wrestles with Jesus himself in person. And it seems like she's at this dead end with him because at first he ignores her. He doesn't even give her any attention at all. And then he says, well, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So basically, like, you're not even worthy. And then he says, you know, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. So he gives her every indication that she doesn't deserve his help. But you see, she's wrestling with him and she will not let go. She knows that he is the answer. And so she just keeps begging and clinging to him. And when he says, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, she says, yes, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus says, yes, you are right. Great is your faith. She's right, okay? We don't deserve his grace and his mercy. But he has promised that he wants to give it. And that's what we cling to. It often feels like a dead end to us when we get in these situations with our own sin. You know, how will I ever make up for this? Well, you can't. You can't make up for it. How will I ever make this right? Well, you can't. You can't make it right. Okay? How can I ever get rid of this suffering for my child? Well, you can't. You can't change that. And that's where it feels like this dead end that we can't get out of. Well, what do you do then? You know, what do you do when the devil is throwing all your sins in your face like he did to Jacob? What do you do when you feel helpless and you can't help your child that's suffering? Well, you look and you say, yes, I don't deserve God's help and his mercy. How will I ever get through this? Because I have Jesus. Yes, I can't get through this on my own. Yes, I deserve to suffer and much more. But God has given me his son, Jesus Christ. Think about, if you get that picture of the dead end where our sin leads, then think about, that's exactly where Jesus went. He went to the dead end, which of course is death. That is the ultimate dead end for all of us. That's where Jacob was headed. He thought Esau was going to kill him. And that's where the Canaanite woman was so fearful for her daughter. She thought her daughter would not make it through this. That's the dead end where Jesus went. He went to the cross and gave his life for our guilt and shame. So all these past sins that we all think are always coming back to us, they're not. They went to him. All the sins of our youth that we say, remember not the sins of my youth, God doesn't remember them because they've all gone to Jesus Christ on the cross. And at that dead end, he opened up a door for us, a new way, a way of resurrection, a way of life, a way of forgiveness, a way of healing. That's what Jesus does. You know, Jacob says, how will I ever get through this? And God says, I forgive you, Jacob. You will get through this. You have my promise, my mercy. The Canaanite woman says, how will I ever get through this? Jesus says, your daughter has been healed right now. That's how we get through it. He gives us a way out of the guilt and the shame and suffering, the way of forgiveness and eternal life. One other picture I want to give you of Jacob, I think it's an interesting thing that why do you think God put his hip out of socket? That's kind of a weird thing. Here they're wrestling and striving, and then all of a sudden God puts his hip out of socket. Well, I've never wrestled, but I'm going to guess that if you get your hip out of socket, it's going to be hard to continue wrestling. You know, all your strength, you're not going to be able to put any weight on that at all. All your strength is going to be gone. Well, that's kind of the point. Because after that, you see, what does Jacob do? He leans all of his weight on God. He says, I am not going to let go. And that's, of course, what God desires. That's faith. That's the picture of Jacob. That's the picture of the Canaanite woman just clinging on to God, to Christ our Savior, saying, I remember your promise. I remember your word and your forgiveness, and I won't let go of it. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.